Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're at Old Tinley Pub in Tinley Park for a Miller Lite Top Draft Show. Olin Krutz hanging out until 8:30 here on Sports Radio 670. The Score. You can register to win Bears tickets for Bears-Giants next month over at Soldier Field. Make sure you walk up to our promotions team and make sure you get set for that. 312-644-6767. Over the last couple of games, Olin, is there anything that is standing out to you that you think teams are doing different against Khalil Mack than before?
I think that teams have gone to play action at him a little bit more. Just the last two teams, right? But very similar in their design. And look, to design a scheme like that, you have to have the players, right? So Khalil Mack, the last 2 weeks, went against Trent Brown and Colton Miller, and a very good Raiders offensive line. We talked about Hudson at center, Incognito at left guard, and Good at right guard, right? And then this week they went against what some people consider the best offensive line in the NFL besides the Green Bay Packers, with McCoy and Pete and Warford and Ramchick and Armstead are two very, very good pass-blocking offensive lines. And to be fair to New Orleans, they left their tackles one-on-one with Khalil Mack sometimes. These are some of the very few guys in the league, especially Armstead, who can block him one-on-one. There was a play where they ran a play action at Khalil Mack, which is almost an impossible block for most guys. A one-on-one play action pass, 5 to 7 step drop. It's going to be a deep route. It's going to be about a 20-yard comeback. Ramchick blocked him one-on-one. But these guys are not the norm, right? These are very good players. But when that does happen, it shows you that the Bears are missing another pass rusher. They are missing one other guy like Akeem Hicks to get after the quarterback. So to answer your question, what they do is they line up guys outside of him, and he thinks it's a crack block. So he has to respect that. Then they bring in a backup offensive lineman, put him at tight end. They double him with the backup offensive lineman, the tight end, and they fake a crack on Khalil Mack. But that's just how good he is. But also, the Saints do have guys who can win one-on-one battles with him. So that was also happening against the New Orleans Saints. Now, the Chargers don't. And a lot of teams don't. Like, when you watch the Vikings get dominated by the Bears, a lot of that is Khalil Mack. A lot of that is Eddie Goldman, Garrett Bradbury, the rookie center for the Vikings, cannot block Eddie Goldman, right? So there's Riley Reiff, the left tackle. He struggles mightily against Khalil Mack. The Saints weren't, right? Khalil Mack, he won his battles. Obviously, he's going to. But so did their guys. So that's what you saw. The Saints weren't doing anything totally different. They just have two very good tackles. So when they do it, it looks a little better than everybody else.
I know everybody's down on the Bears right now, and offensively you have every reason to feel that way. But this matchup and where the Bears excel, where their great players are on defense, and, you know, this follows up the Mack conversation, it's set up for them to dominate this week.
Right? It is. It is set up for them with the crowd noise. Hopefully that air siren's going again. Look, winning cures a lot of things, right? And two bad losses, a player meeting, all of us on top of Mitch Trubisky. He's got to go to the bench, right? Should we bench him? Should we trade for guys? Is it time to give up on him? Look, 2 weeks ago, Kirk Cousins was at Soldier Field, okay? Diggs didn't even show up to practice the next week. right? He didn't even come to practice the next week. Everybody wanted Kirk Cousins bench. He couldn't play anymore. I think he's thrown for 8 touchdowns in the last 2 weeks.
I was actually, it's funny you bring this up because I was looking it up the other day because I couldn't believe what he's done. Since that Bears game, they're 3-0. He has 10 touchdowns, 1 interception, and a rating of 142.
Right, because sometimes it's who you're playing. Sometimes it's your matchup. And I don't think people are giving the Saints enough credit for the way they made Mitch Trubisky and that offense look. I remember I watched the film on them, and I said to myself, this is the last defense they want to see right now. A struggling offense did not want to see the New Orleans Saints, the way they were playing defense, the way Dennis Allen has them running around, the way that secondary can make you see things that aren't actually there, like Darnold said last night. I'm seeing ghosts, right? Because, look, Darnold looked great the week before against the Cowboys, who Rob Marinelli has a very good unit up there, right? But you go and you play Bill Belichick, and now you're throwing the ball up, and everybody's saying, what the hell are you doing? Kirk Cousins plays the Chicago Bears defense without Akeem Hicks. Same thing everybody's saying about him. What the hell is Kirk Cousins doing? He's done. We overpaid this guy. We got to get rid of him. It's time to find somebody else. 8 touchdowns later, everything has quieted down. Mitch Trubisky has to have that kind of resolve. He has to have that kind of resolve. He has to go out here, play. I think Kirk Cousins said, look, I play better when I play with an edge. Mitch Trubisky's the same way. Play with an edge, Mitch. Take off and run sometimes. Hey, look, to get yourself going, run a DB over. Get your team going. Show them that you are in this and you win it, and you're not going to give this job up easily.
Let's go back out to the phone lines. James on the north side here on 670, The Score with Joe Ostrowski.
Hey, what's up,
and
guys? Great show. Listen, Trubisky's done. He's lost confidence. You can tell his body language. The defense is getting frustrated. They're on the field for a whole quarter. A whole quarter, guys, the defense was out there for the time possession, 15 minutes for the Saints. I mean, this goes back to, we never had a quarterback in the Bears history, like all pro, Super Bowl type quarterback. When you had the chance to get Deshaun Watson, why did you draft him? You want to move up ahead to San Francisco, trade number 2 pick, all these draft picks for Trubisky, who only played 1 year in college. I mean, you can't make that mistake. You put this organization back 10 years now. Now you got to go and find up a quarterback. And who are you going to find? You got to probably overpay for a quarterback now. I mean, you can't make those mistakes. And you got William Leonard Floyd, who he hasn't done nothing. That's why they're double-teaming Mac now.
James, go get a cold beer, bro.
Thanks,
let's get
James.
A cold beer, hot shower.
Cold one.
Cold one, man. It's a cold, you need a cold beer and a good cigar. But look, James's frustration, you can feel it because that is the way Mitch Trubisky played. That is how he played on Sunday. And the thing about it is, Mitch, don't hide from it. Don't hide from it. You played that bad. That's how you looked on Sunday. That's the frustration you feel from the Chicago Bears fans. But like we just talked about Kirk Cousins, like Darnold's got to do this week in New York. Playing quarterback in NFL is the hardest position in the NFL. It's hard to do. That's why there's not a lot of good guys doing it, because it takes a lot of resolve. You got to take a lot of criticism. But, look, Mitch, you just come back. You go back to work. You just admit, look, that was a really bad game. For whatever reasons there were. And it's not we. It's not we play bad. It's not, well, I had somebody in my face there, and I thought Miller should have ran. No. You play bad. Like, don't. You just talk about the plays you did wrong. Get those right. Raise the level of your teammates. That's why you were drafted number 2 in the draft. And we've all seen you do it. We've all seen you take off and run. We've all seen you make big plays, right? We've all seen Mitch Trubisky play on a level. The end of the Eagles game last year, right? He made big plays. He stood in there when the pressure was in his face, and he was throwing dimes to Allen Robinson. So he can do it, but he's got to come out. He hasn't played good football, maybe the Redskins game, but he hasn't played great football yet this year. And, yes, I guess James, who was just on, who needs a cold beer, what he was saying right there is what we were all watching on Sunday.
Yeah, and you're just never going to get away from Watson and Mahomes. We all can agree they messed up. They took the wrong guy. Okay, fine. But I don't think the fans are asking for too much.
And I'll argue. Yeah. I will argue that the story's not written yet. Not yet. I mean, look, it looks like it. It's close to being written, right? It's close.
I mean,
not yet. I'm not giving
about,
up.
We're talking
I'm hanging
about,
on. We're I'm hanging on. Joe, I'm
one,
hanging on.
One half. What half?
Mahomes is hurt. Mahomes is hurt. He's not durable. Get him out.
All right, bring him here.
They need a new quarterback. Mahomes is not durable. He has durability issues.
Trade for him, Nagy.
Deshaun Watson was out for the whole year. Durability issues. Okay, no.
Trubisky was out, too.
You need the beer now.
I need two, Dave.
I think we all do.
Or maybe I had him already.
Well, if they lose against the Chargers. For damn sure. Mike in Glendale Heights here on 670 The Score. Hey, Mike.
Hello. Yeah. I have a question.
Go ahead.
Why was Trubisky still playing in the fourth quarter when he might get hurt, but in the preseason he couldn't play because he might get hurt?
All right. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, Mike, that's a great question. Look, I think they wanted to get him – some reps, which you could argue they should have got some in preseason too. I think they left him on the field to just for that offense to find a rhythm. And I know Coach Nagy called that garbage time, and he's right. But you leave him out there, you try to get some good film from him so you can go to next day and say, look, this is not how you do it, and then look at here. This is good footwork. Well, what's the difference? Well, why are we moving the ball here? And some of that is the Saints are playing a little bit of a softer defense and not bringing the blitzes and guys in the A-gap and Cam Jordan looping around and trying to identify who's coming, who's not coming, and they still haven't got that right and still haven't got the ball out and beat the blitz yet this year, and that's something they need to work on. But I think just to answer his question, I think the reason is that they were just trying to find positive plays for that offense.
I'm sure it's on the mind of some Bears fans because they saw that game last night and they decided to sit Darnold at the very end. The difference is Trubisky didn't have four interceptions in that game, but he wasn't saying, I'm seeing ghosts. And Saints are a really good defense, but New England's the best that we've seen so far.
Yeah, that Blitz Zero package they've gone to, and Blitz Zero just means there's no safety to help any cornerback out there. Every guy's just one-on-one by themselves. Coach Belichick, you know, on Twitter last night, he reminds me of the Night King from Game of Thrones, where he's coming, and everybody better be prepared for him. And his schemes and what he's doing right now in the NFL and the way he perplexes quarterbacks and offensive coordinators, it almost seems like the scary thing, Joe, is it almost seems like he's got them better. Like Belichick has gotten almost like he was watching all that film and studying all this football to get to where he is right now and where the game is easy for him. Like the total confidence on his look on his face on the sideline is almost scary, right? And then you got Tom Brady who's found the fountain of youth, and he just reads the defense. He's going to find the open guy. He's going to find your weakness. He's going to stand in the pocket, get the ball out. Doesn't matter who's playing O-line. Doesn't matter who's playing running back. It really doesn't matter. Now they got Sanu. This team, this New England Patriots, not only if you're a football fan, they are fun to watch. They execute as a football player, as a guy who played as long as I did in the NFL. That's the kind of execution we were striving for, right? Like you were trying to get there every week. It seems like they're there right now, like in their sweet spot, and it's fun to watch.
It's like they're on a different level. McNeil and Parkins were talking about this earlier today. If you had to make the choice for a Super Bowl pick, Patriots or everybody else, which side would you take?
I would just take everybody else because health is so hard. It's so hard to stay healthy through all 16 weeks. And, you know, if they lose a cornerback here or D lineman there or another old lineman, they could be in trouble.
Okay. Nick in Grays Lake, you're on 670 The Score, Joe Ostrowski and Nolan Krutz.
Hey, guys. So my question for you is this. So the Bears are coming off a season where they made the playoffs and they have it like this. And, Olin, I know in the past you've had seasons where you made the playoffs like the Super Bowl and the NFC Championship game, and then the following season wasn't as good. How much does this situation remind you of like the days with Rex Grossman and the days with Jay Cutler? And what did you wish you kind of knew back then that you know now?
Thanks, Nick.
Well, I mean, the thing, Nick, is that you just mentioned two of the top three or four quarterbacks I played with through my whole career, right? But, you know, I remember in 2007, you know, we lost Mike Brown, right, in the opening week. Dusty Dvorak was a starting nose guard. Ian Scott had moved on, I think. And we lost him in that opening week, too. Tommy Harris had tore his hamstring against the Vikings. I think it was week nine in 2006. He was never the same again. Right. You know, and that's what I'm talking about, where even though guys are playing, are they the same, the guy that they were, right? So kind of like we're talking about with Trey Burton. Is Trey Burton, even though he's out there, he's not the Trey Burton we watched last year run around before he didn't play in that Eagles game. But there is some similarities when I look at this team and I talk about guys have regressed, right? Where guys are not – if you go through the offense and the defense, okay, and you really look at the film, you'd be hard to find two or three guys that are playing football as well as they were playing last year, at the level they were playing it at last year, right? And you say the whole offense has regressed, and that is true. Guys have taken a step back, and they have to get back up. They have to get back to where they were, and they're chasing a little bit now because you never know why guys step back, Joe. It could be their preparation offseason. It could be we've talked about on the radio before. One thing that scared me last year was when everybody after that Eagles game only talked about Cody Parkey.
Yes.
There was a lot of problems in that Eagles game besides Cody Parkey. So Cody Parkey kind of covered up, right? The Bears offense, since the Rams, I think it was like week 14 last year, I think they averaged like 13 or 14 points a game going into this year. The Bears offense really hasn't played good football for a long time now. So no one really talked about it because everything was a double doink. Mm-hmm. Everything was Cody Parkey. And that's why I'm saying about the team, the players meeting today. That's what I'm saying about up there in that building. There has to be an honest assessment of where they are. And that's what bugged me. I'll keep going back to it. That's what bugged me about Nagy's press conference. Like, it didn't seem like an honest assessment of what really had to get better for the Chicago Bears to win games.
Last year, the four teams that were left on Championship Sunday were the highest scoring offenses in the NFL, the top four. In this league, in a quarterback's league, a passing league, can you win at a high level for multiple years in a row being carried by your defense?
It's hard. It's hard. I think history tells you no. I mean, I think history really tells you no. And but how many elite quarterbacks are there really in the NFL? I mean, how many guys every year, Matt Ryan in Atlanta, it seems like, he's not helping them go where they want to go, right? So you build the defense and you build the run game, to me, until you find a quarterback. And then you insert him in there. And if you have him, like even Aaron Rodgers had to stop throwing the ball all over the place for them to start winning games again. They had to change. They had Aaron Rodgers, who is the best quarterback in the NFL, a lot of people think. And they had the head coach, the offensive coordinator, got fired. Right? The guy got fired for the way they were playing on offense. And they had the best quarterback in the NFL. So things just kind of go. And what does everybody keep saying? What does the Green Bay Packers need? Because they have the elite quarterback. They got to play defense and run the ball. Right? Yep. So you need some of, you need some of everything. I think the safest bet in Chicago is to play defense and run the ball at people. And I think Montgomery's up to it. I think if you give him the ball, he can wear on people. I think you get Mitch in third and manageable, and you can run sprint plays and boot plays and get him running out of the pocket and just get him flowing a little bit and then call the pocket passes.
That's Olin Kreutz. He's going to stick around for one more segment at a Miller Lite Top Draft broadcast at Old Tinley Pub in Tinley Park. I'm Joe Ostrowski at 670 The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Northwestern Football at Ryan Field this fall with the Wildcats host Iowa, Purdue, and Minnesota Big Ten play. Single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at NUSports.com. Final few minutes with Olin Krutz at a Miller Lite Top Draft broadcast, Old Tinley Pub in Tinley Park. Olin, what are you expecting on Sunday against the Chargers? We've talked about it all evening. It sounds like there is a players-only meeting, a lot of noise outside the walls of Hallis Hall. So how do you see it playing out and the game as far as that matchup goes?
I'm hoping we see a refocused, re-energized Bears team. You know, just guys who are tired of losing. And I know a lot of people had a problem with Allen Robinson going at somebody on Twitter, Tariq Cohen at the end of the game, running into people, talking a little trash. I didn't. You just want to see, to me, that just says, we've had enough. Like, that's enough of playing like this. And sometimes, to get yourself going again, you have to fight every fight, even the fights you shouldn't be fighting, like guys on Twitter. And that just means I am going to fight everybody who comes my way now. And it's just a mentality, right? It's just, are they right for doing it? No. Are you right for talking trash at the end of the game? No, you're not. But that's just, I am sick of this. And I've had it. And that's frustration. And some of that is what you want to see. That's what you want to see out of your team, right? And I'm sure a year or two from now, just watching the way Allen Robinson carries himself, I'm sure he'll admit that it's pretty dumb to go after this guy on Twitter and call him a bad basketball player.
look
at your stats. And I don't know what the guy scored. But anyway, but just I'm hoping that leads to the team meeting today where they have it out and it just refocuses this team. I'm hoping they come out. I'm hoping they get a convincing win against the Chargers because, look, when they won five in a row last year, that was the 3-5 Jets, the 2-7 Bills, the 3-6 Lions. Minnesota was about 500, and they played the Lions again. This schedule, although their record is not great, at the Eagles, at the Rams, the Lions are not terrible. So they can reel off some wins again. It's going to be a little harder, but – They have to just start with the Chargers, get a win, and then get back to work.
Offensively, what are we going to see that's different? And people are driving around thinking right now, are they actually going to run the ball so everybody will shut up about running the ball?
Yeah, I don't think, you know, when you're the Raiders, right, and everybody says, well, why don't we run the ball like the Raiders? The Raiders run the ball like that because – that was the image John Gruden built that team in, right? So when you go out and sign 6'9", 400-pound Trent Brown, when you sign Richie Incognito, when you sign Vontaze Burfict, when you re-sign Hudson, when you draft Josh Jacobs, you're developing a certain kind of team, right? There's a reason you sign Richie Incognito and Vontaze Burfict. You're trying to instill an attitude in your team that this is the way we're going to play football. The Bears are not built like that. The Bears on offense, like you talked about earlier, they signed Allen Robinson. They signed Trey Burton, who's not really a blocking tight end. He's more of a receiving tight end, right? They signed Taylor Gabriel, who can beat you deep, who's got really good speed. They got Tariq Cohen, who's kind of a Swiss Army knife. They do have Javon Wims on the bench, who I think plays pretty good football, should get a little more looks now. They move up in the second round. They draft Anthony Miller, right? They move up. They draft Mitch Trubisky. They're built to spread you out, run the ball when they can just a little bit, and then hit you with some explosive plays. So I think they have to kind of stay with that, but they have to run the ball a little more with Montgomery. I think they have to put a little more draws in their playbook where people think it's pass, but you're running the ball anyway. The Saints – on Murray's big run, that was draw action. If the Saints, with nobody on the field, can run a draw, the Chicago Bears can run a draw. So take some of your tendencies, some of your formations that you like to pass out of and run a draw out of them. Just run the ball any style you can. Because, look, the Chicago Bears, I'd be shocked if they could line up in two tight ends, put J.P. Holtz at fullback, and run power all day long. I just don't think they're built to do that. I could be totally wrong, but then they would have to put Adam Shaheen on the field, put J.P. Holtz at fullback. You got to take Trey Burton out, and then now you're just in a totally different scheme than you were in before. You got to stick to your scheme, but you cannot. Coach Nagy said, if I get one yard or 0 yards, I'll throw the ball. We used to say when we played, running the ball is like asking a pretty girl on a date. You ask her 10 times, she may say yes. You just keep asking them. Just keep asking them. Well, you get 1 yard, you're like, yeah, we're wearing them out. It's body blows. And then in the third quarter, all of a sudden that 1 yard becomes 3 or 4 or 5 yards. All you got to do is get a first down. And all of a sudden, you know what? Watch any D-line in the NFL, Joe. When you get a first down, you know what they do? Sub. They all go rest.
Yep.
You just got to get a first down to go against the backups. And then you pound it down their throat. That's what the Saints did. They got a first down. Eddie Goldman went to the sideline, and they went at those guys. They went right down the field at those guys. So that's the Bears have to find a way to get that first down. Run the ball. Get to 3rd and 4, 3rd and 3, and tell Mitch, look, Mitch, if it's not there, run for the damn first down. Get us a first down.
Olin, thanks a lot for coming out.
Appreciate it, Joe, man. Thanks, guys.
Olin Lee Pub, give Olin Kreutz, 6-time Pro Bowler, round of applause. Thank you very much. Great stuff right there from Olin Kreutz. You missed any of it. The entire show, entire hour and a half with Olin will be on the podcast on 670thescore.com. In case you missed the news with the Cubs, they're still searching for a manager, but they've had a second interview with someone aside from Joe Espada. I'll talk about that next. I'm Joe Ostrowski on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Get a terrific breakdown from Olin Kreutz here on 670 The Score. My name is Joe Ostrowski. I want to get to this Cubs managerial search, or is it really a search, coming up in just a moment. Next hour, get into some Bulls because, this may have surprised you. The Bull season starts tomorrow night. And as you know, you can catch every game right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score. John Paxson was on the station this morning. I want to bring some of the few things he had to say back. As always, it's the same thing with the Bulls. Are they going to end up staying healthy? But Kelly Kroll over at NBC Sports Chicago covers the Cubs, of course, does a great job. She tweets this out this afternoon. Not as formally announced as Espada, but David Ross is said to have also had a second interview with the Cubs. Given his position with the team, I'm told they expanded conversations earlier this week. Yeah, like they haven't expanded those conversations for years. It's always felt like that's going to be David Ross's job. Even when he retired and there was a big goodbye to him and everybody was upset, it was the end of the David Ross era. On the North side, he's been involved in the organization, even though he had some duties, doing some media stuff, of course, the television with Dancing with the Stars, but he always keeps coming back with the Cubs. He's worked in front office roles, try to learn different areas of this level. And it always felt like, well, they're going to hire him anyways. Why are they bringing in all these people? They brought in Kapler and Girardi, but do these guys really have shots? Not really sure. But the longer this thing drags on, the more and more I think that Joe Espada is an actual candidate. And there are reports after the first interview how impressed they were with Espada, the Astros bench coach, that they've pushed all of this stuff back a little bit. Because if they knew it was going to be Ross all along, and then he knocks it out of the park in the interviews, and nobody else is on that level, and they're comfortable with him, just make the Ross announcement. But they're pushing it back and pushing it back. Now, some are saying that maybe something will be announced on Thursday, but we're going to have to wait on this. But everything that they've stressed on what this team needs, fresh voice, accountability. Like, they're saying the right things, but I don't know if it's what they truly want. And we'll find that out by the hire. If they truly want some fresh viewpoints, different voices around the team, then you bring in Espada. I think Ross is their safe choice. It's the easy choice for them. I think the front office wants a manager who is going to listen to them more, that will take their input seriously. I mean, at the end, it looked like Madden wasn't really listening to them a whole lot. And John Heyman was on the score basically saying that days after Madden's, I don't want to call it firing, but the contract was up and they parted ways here. But Espada seems to check every single box. He played at this level, just like Ross, and he's climbed the ranks. He started off as a Class A hitting coach. He was a minor league infield coordinator. In Miami, he was a third base coach. He's coached the Puerto Rican national baseball team at the World Baseball Classic in 2013 and 2017. Then he's part of the Yankees organization, a special assistant to Brian Cashman, so he got the front office point of view. And then he's the third base coach. He's an infield coach. He manages a winter ball. And now, if you ask any baseball fan, what's the best organization in baseball? It's a no-brainer. Everyone says it's the Astros. No question. And they have their big championship window, and they're in the midst of it. And it looks like they're going to be in there for quite some time. The Cubs were hoping to get there, but the Astros have accomplished it, making another World Series. Younger guy, 44 years old. But the big thing here is Houston. You want to be what the best are. What are the best doing? Because it feels like the Cubs fell behind a little bit. Fell behind the rest of baseball. And now you can find out what the Astros are doing. What are we missing? Sure, the Cubs have announced that they're going to make all these different hires on the coaching staff that they didn't have before. They're going to take different looks at things. But when they announced all their front office changes the other week, all it was moving guys around. And they want to sell the Jason McLeod as a lateral move. It certainly seemed like a demotion to me. They haven't been able to develop any pitching, which is why they're always chasing it in trades and free agency. But I think if you bring in Espada, and we obsess about the manager, maybe a little bit too much, but that brings a lot of value. If you bring Espada in, the amount of impact he can make behind the scenes, well, this is how we're doing it with the Astros. This is why it's different, just to make them aware. Make the Cubs aware, because it feels like they have fallen behind a little bit, and they do need a bit of a shakeup. The other big thing is, what's the change going to be as far as the roster goes? Because everything that they said at the end of the season was, it felt like they were screaming, yeah, we're breaking up the core four. Contreras is going, Bryant's going, or Baez is going, or maybe some combination. Because how else are you going to add younger pitching? They said they didn't have any money at the beginning of last year, and they had money for Kimbrel once Zobrist wasn't playing. So probably the roster change is going to be the bigger news that will change things more on the north side. But the manager thing can be big. If it's Ross, I don't think it's that big of a deal. They're basically bringing a guy in that's going to listen to the front office. The lineups that they want are going to be put on the lineup card. Bottom line. If they want Ross to talk to this guy, talk to that guy about doing this or this different approach, they'll do that. But I don't think this Cubs roster has earned the benefit of the doubt that they should just be able to get their friend in there. They haven't done that. So we're going to find out exactly what Theo Epstein meant. We know what he said about accountability, and that needs to be the big change for this roster moving forward. We know what he said, but did they really mean it? Can you hold players accountable when you're their best friends or one of their buddies? I have my doubts about that. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. You've got Joe Ostrowski at a Miller Lite Top Draft Show at Old Tinley Pub in Tinley Park. That's Oak Park and 170th Street. I'm here broadcasting till 10 o'clock. And if you want to win Bears tickets, you come on out. If you're in the South Burbs, you register. And we've got tickets for Bears-Giants coming up next month at Soldier Field. We'll give those away close to 10 o'clock. So if you want to jump in, the phone lines are also open, 312-644-6767. We'll get to some Bulls conversation next hour. Monty in Lake Zurich, you're on 670 The Score.
So how do – a question for you. How do the Cubs have money for Zobrist when he came back? And, you know, you had said that they're using – the Zobrist money for Kimbrel, but they all of a sudden have money for Zobrist when he came back. So was Zobrist not being paid when he was gone? And
correct, he was not being paid.
So they had money when he came back, right?
Yeah.
So
he only played the last couple of months, and that's an expiring contract, so it wasn't a ton of money.
Fair enough. But I mean, you and I both know Cubs are the third biggest market team, right?
Yeah.
And therefore, they have the money they want to spend. I just feel like it's a little bit of a bureaucracy because, I mean, although I know as a businessman there is always a budget. However,
they have the money. I agree with you if that's what you're getting at. Is that it, Monty? All right. Thank you for the phone call. 312-644-6767. Yeah, they may cry poor a little bit. Oh, well, we don't have the money to go after this. What it probably is they made a lot of mistakes. The OFC made a lot of mistakes in free agency. So Yu Darvish was paid to come in and be the ace. The problem is he hasn't been the ace yet. Now, you'll see glimpses of it, but it hasn't been there. Because they didn't expect John Lester to continue to be the ace at this stage in his career, and he isn't. He's not. Some of the other moves that they've made, Chatwood paying for that, that's been a huge disappointment. And the Quintana trade, they flat out lost that one to the White Sox. I don't care what anybody says. And then you look at him the last four weeks of the season, just getting crushed. And they're going to lose Cole Hamels in the rotation. So there's a lot going on with the pitching. They need a lot of help. But, you know, with that Jason Hayward signing and the length of it just hanging over their heads, you wonder if they were told, yeah, those mega deals, let's stop that for a little bit. What I want to see in this upcoming free agency, and the Sox should be more involved, of course, because they have so much money to spend. They promise they're going to do it. Is you look at the two teams that are left, Houston and Washington. They have great offenses, but the one thing that really stands out is these pitching matchups every game in this World Series. So are we going back to that? There's a lot of quality starting pitching in free agency. So our team's going to overpay for pitching, going back that direction a little bit. It's going to be fascinating to watch. But again, Joe Espada had the second interview, I believe it was over the weekend. Not sure if it took place on Monday. And then David Ross had his second interview with the Cubs. These are the only people that we've heard about that have had second interviews for this job. Maybe they announce something later this week. If it's Espada, I would assume that they're going to wait until after the World Series. Coming up next, let's get to some Bulls. The season is officially underway once we get to tomorrow night. We've got a couple NBA games going on right now, but most teams in action tomorrow. So we're going to get to that next. Joe Ostrowski here at Old Tinley Pub in Tinley Park on 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.